Hi, and welcome to the Well Read Podcast, a bi-weekly discussion on books and reading. I'm Hallie.
And I'm Anne.
And we are librarians with the Beaufort County Library in South Carolina. This week, we are going to do our winter books preview, which is something we did a few months ago with our fall books that we were looking forward to. Anne, how many of the fall books that you talked about do you think you ended up reading?
Oh, I was hoping you wouldn't ask that question. I plead the fifth on that.
No, too many books, too little time, right?
I have intentions of reading all of them.
We have good intentions.
So, yes.
All right. Well, so we're going to do kind of the speed round robin thing we did last time and just launch into the books. And we'll list the books with the release date and a little description. And we have kind of a long list. So let's get started.
Okay. So I'm up first. My first book is The Readers of Broken Wheel Recommend by Katarina Biewald. That comes out on January 1st. So it's a fun New Year's shopping day that you can have. And the author is Swedish, and the book was originally published in Sweden earlier this year in 2015. So been translated, and the English release comes out January 2016. The book is about a Swedish woman named Sara who travels to Broken Wheel, Iowa to meet her pen pal who's named Amy. And she gets there and realizes that Amy's funeral has just ended. And so she's missed her completely, but decides instead of going back to Sweden that she's going to just stay in town for a while. And she's welcomed by these townspeople. It's a very small town in Iowa, but she doesn't really fit in. She's obsessed with books and no one else in town really seems to share that with her. So she decides that she's going to open a bookstore in Amy's memory, and she can share her love of reading with these people in a small town. So it's being compared, and the things I've read, to the Guernsey Literary and Potato Peel Pie Society. Yeah, and I can see it as a read-alike to the storied life of A.J. Fikre, too. Yeah. So it sounds charming. I wasn't crazy about A.J. Fikre at all, but some people that also shared my opinion really liked this one. So It seems like it has maybe the right amounts of feel good that can touch even me.
Even your robot heart.
Yes. That's The Readers of Broken Wheel Recommend by Katarina Biewald.
All right, great. My first one is The Verdict by Nick Stone, and it comes out December 7th, 2015, so not too long from now. It is a legal thriller, and it's sort of being billed as the British John Grisham.
Oh, cool.
It's about a man named Terry Flint, who is a struggling law clerk in his late 30s, and he is pulled into work on the defense team of Vernon James, who has been accused of murdering a woman in his hotel suite. And Terry and Vernon were childhood best friends, and they no longer have much of a relationship because Terry blames Vernon for getting him kicked out of Cambridge, which led him sort of on a downward spiral of depression and alcoholism, I think, and being a law clerk instead of a more prestigious position. But his feelings are very complicated towards him because once he starts researching and trying to find evidence for his defense, he realizes that maybe he isn't guilty. So he has conflicting feelings about the fact that he's accused of murder, but maybe not guilty, and what position that puts him in, because he has a lot of negative feeling towards him. And it's been described as propulsive and Dickensian. And
ooh,
I like that. It looks pretty long. I think it was almost 500 pages.
So holy cow.
It looks like it's maybe one of those twisty, windy kind of plots. And that's The Verdict by Nick Stone, out December 7th.
My next book is The Expatriates by Janice Y.K. Lee, and that comes out on January 12th. This is the same author who wrote The Piano Teacher that was kind of a big book club pick several years ago. And this book is about three American women who are living in the expat community in Hong Kong, and they each have different issues. One of them can't get a job or stay in a relationship. Another is married but can't have children. And then the third struggles with her identity as a mother. And even though they each have these individual struggles, their lives are going to collide in ways that have devastating consequences, according to the back of the book. So the author was born in Hong Kong to Korean parents and then moved to the United States as a teenager and then moved back to Hong Kong as an adult, and I think is still living and writing there. And so it seems like she's particularly well suited to write a book like this, that she has this background and this knowledge set that will really enhance a book like this. And I've been to Hong Kong and it was awesome. So I'm excited to read that. And I love books about people's lives kind of intersecting in ways that you don't expect. Mm-hmm. So I think this will be really cool.
Yeah, that sounds really good. That was on my list, but I noticed that you were going to talk about it.
Sorry.
So that's okay. as long as it gets talked about, that's all I care about. All right, my next one. I'm sorry. Did you say the title?
Oh, it's The Expatriates by Janice Y.K. Lee.
My next one is The Rogue Not Taken by Sarah McLean. Comes out December 29th, 2015. And she is a romance author. She writes historical romances. She is the author of two different series, one called Love by Numbers, which is a trilogy, and one called Rules for Scoundrels, and there are four books in that one. So I guess I always call it a quartet, but I don't know if that's the right term for a four-book series.
You can pioneer it.
There we go. It's quartet. And this is the first book in a new series, and it from the description, this is what I gleaned. It's about a woman named Lady Sophie who has caused a huge public scene at this big event called the Liverpool Summer Soiree, and she decides to escape from London instead of being the object of society's scorn, and she stows away in the back of a carriage, vowing never again to return to London. And what she doesn't realize is that she's stowed away in the back of the Marquis of Eversley's carriage, and he's a notorious rake. He has this huge reputation for, like, loving and leaving women.
Of course he is.
Of course. Of course. And so he thinks she's trying to trap him into marriage. She thinks he's the last man on earth she'd want to spend time with, but they're stuck together on this carriage ride to Scotland. And MacLean is a really good writer of chemistry between characters. So this sort of setup where they're stuck together on a road trip in close quarters, it's just fodder for a great romance novel. Stop laughing. They're so fun. She's a really, really fun romance writer who is a smart, witty writer.
Her titles all have puns in them, and they're just cracks.
This actually, I'm pretty sure, I'm not sure if, do you know Allie Carter, who's a teen author? Okay, she writes a couple of different series, and I'm pretty sure Allie Carter came up with this title. And then Sarah McLean wrote a book based on the title.
Oh, that's awesome.
I think. Or maybe Allie Carter had read the book and she provided the title. Yeah, but regardless, I'm pretty sure that it wasn't Sarah McLean who came up with it. Anyway, it's The Rogue Not Taken by Sarah McLean. And she's a great entry into, if you're at all interested in historical romances, a great entry into that world.
That sounds amazing. So my third book is And Again by Jessica Chiarella. And that comes out on January 12th. And I've heard this described as a good read-alike for Station 11, which Hallie talked about on our book club picks episode. But like Station 11, it kind of has a complex plot, so I'm not sure how well I'll describe it, so I'll try. It's about four terminally ill patients who are given the chance to participate in an experimental medical program. And the program will keep their personalities, like their minds, but it will give them new physically perfect bodies. And I think it's still their same bodies, but they've just been completely fixed. I'm not completely sure on that. So it seems like it's going to be this amazing fresh start, but each grapples with problems that come up from this experiment. I'll just give you a couple of them. One of them is an artist who can no longer hold a brush because her new body doesn't possess that skill anymore. Oh. So then another is trying to reconnect with her family who moved on after she was paralyzed for 8 years, and they've just emotionally sort of distanced themselves from her because she wasn't able to respond to them for so long. So they just are finding that there's things that they didn't expect to be issues that they when they thought everything would be great after they went through this program. So the book questions about how much of our identities are based not just on our minds, but on our actual physical bodies. And I thought that sounded cool. Mm-hmm. So that is And Again by Jessica Chiarella. And it has a really cool looking cover.
Sounds really great. And that's the first time I've ever heard of it. So thank you for mentioning it. My next one is The Guest Room by Chris Bojalian. It comes out January 5th, 2016. Chris Bojalian is a very interesting author to me because every time he writes a book, it's something that isn't necessarily, you wouldn't have predicted from what he's written before. He doesn't write the same story every time, right, just with different characters. And I don't know if I'm saying that right, but he's written historical fiction. He's written contemporary fiction.
He jumps around a lot.
He jumps around,
which is cool.
So this one sounds really interesting to me. It starts with a woman named Kristen Chapman who agrees to let her husband throw a bachelor party for his brother. And they live, I believe, in Connecticut. And so she takes her daughter to Manhattan for the night. And, you know, she expects a little bit of craziness to happen, a bachelor party at her house, but she thinks she can handle it and nothing major will happen. And she just can't imagine what actually ends up happening, which is that her husband shares an intimate moment with one of the women that is brought in as entertainment in their guest room, which sounds...
I'm giving a displeased look.
And is giving a face. And then two women who have been hired as entertainment stab and kill their bodyguards before driving off into the night
to disappear.
Yes. So you have sort of the domestic story of Kristen and her husband grappling with this transgression that he's had, but also this bigger sort of mystery of what has happened to the the women that has that have caused them to escape and kill their bodyguards. As far as I can tell, it alternates perspectives between one of the women and tells her story about how she ended up in that lifestyle, and then also the perspectives of the Chapman family as they deal with the aftermath of what has happened. They've been kicked out of their house because it's a crime scene. I think her husband either loses his job or is put on administrative leave because of these events. So it's like their whole world crumbles because of just one night. And I think we've talked about this before, about there was another book we talked about how one event can change everybody's lives.
Oh yeah.
In different
was
ways.
It was the Leanne Moriarty. No, not.
Was it? I don't remember. But anyway, I'm sort of drawn to these stories. And I was, as I was reading the description for in preparation for the show, I thought of Just Mercy, which we talked about, how nobody should be defined by the worst decision they've ever made, uh-huh. or however you phrased it. And I was thinking, this is sort of along the same lines, like their lives are all in chaos because of this one night and what the fallout is from that. And it just sounds really riveting and intense to me. And that's The Guest Room by Chris Bojalian.
Okay, up next is The Happy Marriage by Tahar Ben-Jelloun. And I'm sorry if I'm not pronouncing that correctly. It comes out January 12th. And the author is actually an award-winning Moroccan novelist. But I hadn't heard of him before. But apparently he's shortlisted for the Nobel Prize in Literature often. So this is a
first time I've ever
sad oversight on our part.
On our part, for sure.
Yes. So the book is set in Casablanca. And the story is first told through the eyes of the husband in this marriage, and he is a painter but was paralyzed by a stroke at the height of his career, and he blames his marriage for his decline in his health. So since he's unable to paint, he instead decides to write a book that chronicles his destructive marriage and kind of shows why this has destroyed his life so much. And his wife finds the manuscript, but she answers each accusation in the within it point by point and gives her version of events and reinterprets their story with the way that things happen for her. The book is also looking at the changing role of women in a society that's slowly becoming aware of women's rights. Mm-hmm. From I think this could really easily, in the hands of someone maybe not as talented, become a men are bad and women are good book. And it doesn't sound like that at all. It sounds like it really examines the complexities of marriage and how male and female relationships work. And I guess that's kind of the age-old question that everyone writes about. So, but this sounds like a really interesting take on it. So that's The Happy Marriage by Tahar Ben-Jelloun.
That sounds fascinating. Thank you for mentioning it. My next one is Fallen Land by Taylor Brown. It is coming out January 12th, and it is set during the last year of the Civil War. Callum is an Irish immigrant who is falsely accused of murder, and he's being pursued by bounty hunters, so he's running away from them. And then Ava is the orphan daughter of a doctor who died during the war. And I'm not exactly sure from the description whether they know each other prior to teaming up and escaping together, or I'm not sure. That wasn't in the description. It just says the two of them flee together. So I'm not sure what the prior relationship is. But and it also mentions that it's the two of them with one horse, and the horse is apparently almost its own character, which I kind of like that. That's kind of fun. Anyway, they race across Atlanta and its surroundings and witnessing the devastation of the Civil War, particularly Sherman's march across Atlanta. And it's drawing lots of comparisons to Cold Mountain and Cormac McCarthy's books. And I am a huge fan of Cold Mountain.
That's a great book.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
Book. So I'm really looking forward to that. It's called Fallen Land by Taylor Brown.
Cool. I have next The Road to Little Dribbling, Adventures of an American in Britain by Bill Bryson. And that comes out on January 19th. Bill Bryson is a pretty famous author. He's an American who lives in England, and he's written a lot of humorous nonfiction books. He's probably the most famous for A Walk in the Woods, which was about the Appalachian Trail. 10 years ago did that come out? Maybe a little bit more
even
than that.
Yeah.
But it's always, I see it on like school reading lists all the time now. Yeah. So this book is a sequel to another book that he wrote called Notes from a Small Island, which was written in 1995. And that's an affectionate portrayal of the eccentricities of English life. And this is the follow-up to it. Bill Bryson does the same idea where he takes a road trip around England, but it's 20 years after his original road trip. And he is trying to rediscover the country after he had moved his family back to the United States and then back to England. So it should be very funny and very charming. And I've never read anything by him that I haven't loved. So I'm super excited for this.
Yeah, he's fantastic.
Yeah. So that's The Road to Little Dribbling by Bill Bryson.
My next one is The Things We Keep by Sally Hepworth. It comes out January 19th. This is about a woman, Anna Forster, who at only 38 years old is in the early stages of Alzheimer's. And so her family moves her into an assisted living facility where she doesn't really want to go. But they feel that she needs the care that apparently they can't give her, so they move her in there. But unexpectedly, she meets Luke, another resident who is about her same age and going through a similar situation, and love blossoms between them. Then there's a woman named Eve, who is a single mother, and she takes a job at the assisted living facility preparing meals. And she's really moved by the bond she sees between them, even as they're really grasping at their memories to remain together, you know, to remember this time that they have. And then a tragic incident leads to Luke and Anna being separated, and Eve has to decide whether she's willing to step in and help them to be together or just keep her distance and go about her life. And it's being described as very moving and bittersweet, as I'm sure you can imagine from the description. And that is The Things We Keep by Sally Hepworth.
That's getting so much librarian buzz.
So much librarian
I can't even
buzz.
Believe it.
Yeah, it's... tons of people have read advanced copies of this and really, mm-hmm. really loved it. So I'm looking forward to that. I'm always in for a good tearjerker novel, so
yeah.
If I'm in the right mood for it. So,
and I feel like I should read it to be aware of it, and then I'm going to be just a crying mess through the whole thing.
Yes.
I don't look forward to that as much.
No, I know.
So my next book is Be Frank With Me by Julia Claiborne Johnson, and that comes out on February 2nd. It's about a woman named Mimi Banning, who is a literary legend who's been secluded in her Bel Air mansion for years, and at the point that the novel starts, she's lost all of her money, and so she's being forced to write a new book for the first time in decades. And her publisher sends an assistant to monitor her progress because she's just such a kind of eccentric mm-hmm. character. So Mimi agrees to this, but she has some really strange stipulations on it that just don't really make sense for someone who needs an assistant. So the publisher sends a woman named Alice, and then you find out that Mimi actually wanted someone to be a companion to her 9-year-old son, Frank. She doesn't have any intention of using this assistant. She just wants someone to sit with her kids. So Frank is witty, and he dresses like he's a 1930s film star. So he has nothing in common with his fourth grade peers. So Alice gets to know Frank and Mimi and their world, and she's launched into many situations that aren't really normal for real life, but seem to fit in perfectly for Hollywood life. Right. So it sounds like it'll be kind of humorously feel good.
Right.
And I've heard it described as a read alike for Where'd You Go, Bernadette?
Oh yeah.
Which is pretty fun. So
yeah. Oh, that sounds so good.
Yeah. So it's called Be Frank With Me by Julia Claiborne Johnson.
My next one is In Other Words by Jhumpa Lahiri, and it comes out February 9th, 2016. It's a nonfiction book, and Jhumpa Lahiri is known for her fiction, primarily the Indian American experience. She, I believe, is the daughter of Indian immigrants. So she wanted to learn Italian after a trip to Florence in college. And so despite years of study, she felt like she never really grasped it. She never felt fluent in it. So she decided in 2012 to pick up and move her family to Rome.
Ooh.
So she could be totally immersed in it and learn the language.
Oh, cool.
And learn the culture. And part of her immersion was she decided to read and write solely in Italian, and write being first just in her journal about her experiences, but then it became this book. So this book is actually originally written in Italian, but it is translated into English. And from what I understand, it's the first part of the book is the English version. The second part of the book is Italian. So if you read Italian, you can read the original and the English and compare, I guess, and see how they did. I just love her writing. She's written both short stories and novels, and I've loved everything I've ever read by her. She wrote The Namesake, and last year, the year before, she wrote The Lowland and Interpreter of Maladies.
Yeah, she's got a lot of books.
Was she Interpreter of Maladies?
I'll
have to check that.
Yeah.
I'll have to check that. I'm not sure she's Interpreter.
Another interesting fact is that Mindy Kaling named her character on the Mindy Project after
Jhumpa Lahiri.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, her last name. Yeah.
Which I was very excited about. I was like, oh, that's so nerdy.
I know, it's so nerdy. I love it. That is called In Other Words by Jhumpa Lahiri.
That sounds great. The idea of writing in another language is your primary means of communication. Oh my gosh. It's so hard to do.
But I can imagine for a writer that's the best way because that's your method of thinking things through and processing is to write. And so if you're going to learn a new language, part of it's got to be learning to craft sentences in that language, I'm guessing.
Right.
So it sounds like a fascinating project.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure if they're still living there or not, actually. I will have to look that up. But this book was the result of them living in Rome and her doing this project.
That's very cool. Yeah. My next book is The Arrangement by Ashley Warlick, and it comes out on February 9th. and it's historical fiction about MFK Fisher, who is a famous food writer who wrote essays that and basically created the food writing genre herself. So it starts out in 1930s California, and Mary Frances is the name, the original name of MFK Fisher. She has just returned from her first trip to France, and she has this restlessness that her husband, Al, doesn't understand. So Mary Frances starts writing food essays for her neighbor, Tim, who seems to understand her love of food and her energy, and soon they begin an affair. And so she's created this love triangle that will have lasting effects on her career and Tim's career and her husband's career and their individual families. So I'm a little bit nervous about this because I love MFK Fisher, but I hate love triangles. So I don't know how I'll handle this. We'll see. I might get really angry and I might have to pretend it's a different person so I can continue to read MFK Fisher because I don't like love triangles. But I do like historical fiction books about women that are finding their careers and sort of emerging into their public persona. So we'll see how it goes. I may have some angry nights ahead of me.
Can't wait for the text messages.
Yes.
Tell me the title.
That's The Arrangement by Ashley Warlick.
My next one is Flight of Dreams by Ariel. I think it's Lawhon. It's Lawhon.
Oh, yeah. I've never thought about that.
Yeah. I read her name so many. Lawhorn.
Yeah.
Every time I've seen it until
That's
I actually
so
typed
funny.
It out and I realized it's Lawhon. Anyway. Flight of Dreams. It comes out February 23rd, and it takes place in May 1937 on board the Hindenburg. And it is one of our favorite multiple perspective books, and there are different characters. There's Emily, who's the only female crew member. Max, who's the ship's navigator, who has a little crush on Emily. Gertrude, who is a bold female journalist who's been blacklisted in her native Germany. Werner, a 13-year-old cabin boy with a bad habit of sneaking up on people. And a brash American who's never without a drink in his hand.
sounds like the recipe.
Sounds like a murder mystery.
I know. Well, I think there is a little bit of a mystery to it.
Yay!
Because you, of course, know how this turns out, what happens at the end of the Hindenburg's journey.
Yes.
No spoilers, but, you know, almost 100 years old. The impression I get is everybody has secrets, all these characters. And so there is a little bit of a mystery, and I'm not sure exactly how much of that plays a role. But I love historical fiction, and there's definitely intrigue to it. I'll say that. Not necessarily a mystery, but definitely intrigue. And so that's just a combination that I thoroughly love. And so that is Flight of Dreams by Ariel Lawhon.
Yeah, that's going to be a big release, I think. Will be a very big deal.
Yeah.
My last book is Black Rabbit Hall by Eve Chase, and it comes out February 9th. This is my requisite gothic book of the list, so I had to give you one.
Yay.
And it's the author's debut novel, which is kind of cool. It's told from the point of view of two women who are living decades apart, and it's first told from the perspective of Amber Alton, who is living with her family. Their country estate is named Black Rabbit Hall, and they live in they're there for the summer. I think they normally live in London, but this is their family's sort of summer getaway. And she describes everything as perfect until some event happens. And I don't know what that is from the blurb. But then three decades later, a woman named Lorna wants to be married at Black Rabbit Hall. And she goes and is kind of exploring the property, and it's become overgrown and it's very gothic. And she begins to have these buried memories of her mother begin to emerge. And she finds herself looking for answers about both the estate and her own family's history. So
that sounds so good.
Yeah. I can't wait for it. It's everything I love in a book. The blurb describes it as an atmospheric book about two women bound together by the dark and tangled secrets of Black Rabbit Hall. It's going to be amazing. So I'm very excited for that. So that's Black Rabbit Hall by Eve Chase, coming out February 9th.
All right. And my last one is A Gathering of Shadows by V.E. Schwab. It comes out February 23rd. It's the second in the Darker Shade of Magic trilogy. So I'm actually not going to describe the synopsis for this book.
I thank you for that, because I continually have that book checked out and I want to read it so much.
I think we talked about this before. I don't know if it was on the podcast or while we were just sitting in this room, but we've talked about it. So what I'm going to do is talk about the first one, because if I tell you about the second one, it spoils the events that happen in the first one.
Oh, you're such a good person.
So
you're so nice to me.
Because I want to entice you to read the first one before February 23rd.
Yeah.
When the second one comes out. There are four parallel versions of London, and some have magic and some don't. And there are these people called travelers who can go in between the different worlds, but there used to be more of them. And now in the time that the book is set, there are only two left. And one of them is named Kel, and he is an ambassador for Red London, where magic is revered. And then there's Grey London, Black London, and White London. And nobody talks about Black London. And then I don't remember now, White London, the different Londons have different relationships with magic. So what he does, he travels back and forth as the ambassador. But while he does this, he also smuggles things between the worlds to allow people a glimpse of the life they can't otherwise see in these different Londons. At one point when he's traveling from one London to a different London, he runs into Delilah Bard, who's a pickpocket, and she steals from him, but then she ultimately saves him from an attacker, so they're sort of bonded together because of that, and they go on a little bit of an adventure because of the person who's just attacked him leads to all these other things. And the new book, which is A Gathering of Shadows, takes place 4 months after the end of the first one. So that's why I don't want to say what happens in the second one, or else you'd know what happens at the end of the first one. And I absolutely loved the first one. The world that she builds is so intricate and fascinating, and she does such a great job of making you understand. I know it sounds a little confusing with the four different Londons, but she makes it so you completely understand how each is distinct and why it has become that way. And it's believable in some weird way that there are these four different parallel versions of the same place. And it's just wonderful adventure, and the characters are really great, and you're rooting for them. And there's a lot of action, and it's just, it's everything you could want in a fantasy adventure story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we've talked about how our favorite fantasy are things that are based in real life.
Yes.
Locations,
right?
And that makes a huge difference.
Yeah,
otherwise, I kind of don't care. But if it has something that I can kind of identify, and it's a magical version of it, then just feed it to me with a spoon.
Right. I really think you would like the first one. I really think you would like it.
I feel like I might as well just buy it instead of checking out the copy over and over and over again, and then putting it aside when I have to read books for this podcast.
So that's A Gathering of Shadows by V.E. Schwab. And how many of those do you think when we do our spring book preview will you have read, Anne?
Well,
let's make wagers here.
Wagers? I was thinking about your whole, I don't have any reading responsibilities. I don't let myself be conned into doing anything that I don't want to read. And so how dare you try to do that to me? Sorry, Hallie was drinking while I said that.
Suddenly just spit out water. I'm sorry, no pressure. I was just curious. No wager. I was just curious.
I'm gonna try. I want to read all of these, and I wouldn't have picked them if I didn't really want to read all of these. It's just there's a lot of library responsibility that maybe people don't understand sometimes.
All right, so we'll just, when we do our spring book preview in February, like end of February, for the March through May, we'll talk about how many books we were able to read in that time.
I'll know to anticipate that. So,
so the week before, you can cram in 3 books. All right. So we will be right back with what we're reading this week. All right, Anne, what are you reading this week?
This week, I'm reading a book called Shadow Shaper by Daniel Jose Older, and it's a YA book that was released this year. It's about a Puerto Rican teenager named Sierra Santiago, and she lives in Brooklyn, and she loves art, and she loves the vibrancy of the city. She's just very, very inspired by that. So she paints murals in her neighborhood, and she begins to notice the other murals that have been painted by local artists are beginning to fade away, and some of them are shedding tears, and so clearly there's something strange going on. But she sort of assumes that maybe she's just seeing things and maybe is her eyes are playing tricks on her. But then she's at a party and a zombie guy starts chasing just her at the party. So she knows there's something that's going on that is not normal. So throughout some other events, she finds out that she's a shadow shaper who can connect with shadows through art, music, and stories. And this is usually a positive thing. The shadows are usually like friendly spirits, but this can also be used for evil. So she finds out that her whole family has been involved in this, and they kept this from her, and that her grandfather shared the secrets of how to do the shadow shaping sort of process with an anthropologist who wants to kill all the shadow shapers off and take all of their power for himself. And I haven't finished it yet, so I'm not sure how it turns out. But I think it's really cool that a book like this was written, because YA books that feature Hispanic characters or other people of color usually are realistic fiction almost across the board. And if there is a fantasy element, it's always a magical realism sort of setting. And this is basically a standard urban fantasy novel. Mm-hmm. And we see this all the time in YA fiction, but never through this lens. It's when you think about it, it's the same premise as the Mortal Instruments series. There's kind of, I mean, exactly the same setup, but it has this different cultural perspective, which is really cool to see. And it's cool to see a non-European mythology being used in a fantasy novel. That's just, I don't think I've ever read anything like that before. It's cool to see teens that can get their hands on something like this and have it be the same type of novel that they're used to, but just get a different perspective from it. So it has really cool language. The writing is really beautiful. So it's good so far. It's called Shadow Shaper by Daniel Jose Older.
That's one that we've talked about Book Riot before in the Book Riot podcast. They talk about him a lot.
He
was on the Reading Lives podcast. Did you listen to that?
I haven't gotten to that one yet, I've seen it on the feed.
Yeah. I've been wanting to read it because it just sounds fascinating and interesting, different. Yeah. My book that I'm reading this week is actually a book I'm listening to called Dirty Chick, Adventures of an Unlikely Farmer by Antonia Murphy. And Antonia Murphy is a woman who was born and raised in San Francisco. And she was sort of your typical young urban woman who, you know, shopped at a grocery store and got food from a restaurant carry out or whatever, until her first son is born with a very rare genetic disorder that causes him to have developmental delays. And he can't really speak. He doesn't have many language skills. So she and her husband decide that they need to be somewhere that has just a slower pace of life and a supportive community where they can raise their son. So they decide to move to New Zealand. And she sort of makes a joke about it, that it's really because of Lord of the Rings, the movies, that they moved there. But what drew them was how beautiful it was. So they decide to move to New Zealand.
I don't think she'd be the first person to move to New Zealand because of Lord of the Rings.
And they sort of fall into farming. She has all these idealistic notions of farming life. So she starts collecting different animals like chickens and lambs and llamas. And she soon realizes that it's a much more disgusting endeavor and a dirtier endeavor than she ever imagined. But it's also pretty rewarding, and it allows her to interact with her community in ways that she probably wouldn't have. She has a neighbor who she's constantly going over to beg milk from him because he has cows, and he's sort of a gruff man and like isn't very friendly, but they form a relationship because she's always going over there and seeking out his help. And it's just a really nice story about a community who's really supportive of each other, and kind of idealistic, probably not idealistic version, but the ideal version of a small village or town where people know each other and help each other out. There's a sweet scene where they enroll her son in the local public school. And there's a little kid who makes a comment that she finds her son's, the way his brain works is very interesting. Like, it's in such an interesting way. So instead of looking down on him or bullying him or ostracizing him, the other kids embrace the fact that he's just different.
Oh, that's really cool.
And it's just really sweet. And then she has a daughter who is really funny. She has a lot of humor, and she's about 3 or 4 years old during the story. And so her comments about the animals and what's happening are really funny. And it's just a really humorous and sweet story. And I have a friend actually who lives in Atlanta, and she is a vet, but she at home, she has a goat, or she has goats and chickens. And it's sort of like, as I was listening to the book, I was picturing my friend, because some of the stories were very similar of the things that happen that you don't expect to happen, and what you have to do when you're caring for all these animals on a farm. And that is Dirty Chick, Adventures of an Unlikely Farmer by Antonia Murphy. Anne, do you want to reread what we talked about today?
Yes. I talked about The Readers of Broken Wheel Recommend by Katarina Bevald, The Expatriates by Janice Y.K. Lee, And Again by Jessica Chiarella, The Happy Marriage by Tahar Ben-Jaloun, The Road to Little Dribbling by Bill Bryson, Be Frank With Me by Julia Claiborne Johnson, The Arrangement by Ashley Warlick, Black Rabbit Hall by Eve Chase, and what I'm reading this week was Shadow Shaper by Daniel Jose Older.
What I talked about was The Verdict by Nick Stone, The Rogue Not Taken by Sarah McLean, The Guest Room by Chris Bojalian, Fallen Land by Taylor Brown, The Things We Keep by Sally Hepworth, In Other Words by Jhumpa Lahiri, Flight of Dreams by Ariel Lahan, A Gathering of Shadows by V.E. Schwab. What I'm reading this week is Dirty Chick, Adventures of an Unlikely Farmer by Antonia Murphy. If you want to get in touch with us to give us feedback or a suggestion on a topic you'd like us to discuss, you can email us at wellreadpod@gmail.com or on Twitter at wellreadpodcast. Please rate and review us on iTunes or your other podcast provider of choice. Our podcast is engineered by Adam Farver. Our theme music is Kitten by Poddington Bear. We keep our show notes at beaufortcountylibrary.org/wellread, where you can find a listing of every book we talked about in this episode. If you'd like a book recommendation list tailored specifically for you, please go to beaufortcountylibrary.org/mynextbook and take a brief survey on what type of books you like. You will need a BCL library card in order to use the service. Thank you all for listening. Happy reading, and hope you had a happy Thanksgiving.